Blog Talk Radio.
Dearly beloved radio audience, it's a blessing to be able to come to you with Religion Means Alive today as we greet you in the greeting, the human greeting of peace be unto you. There are a couple of matters we would like to talk about today. The human face that we see being presented in the world today, and the ugly face that we see being presented in the world today. I'm looking at Atlantic Magazine dated February 2014 and splashed in big headline, Surviving Anxiety. It has a Caucasian male on the front.
Yeah.
Bend over in what appears to be a fetal position. And there's a little caption up under saying, I've tried therapy, drugs, and booze. Here's what helped. And I'm also looking at Newsweek that's dated January 1st, 2016. And there is the question, why are white Americans dying younger? And then in small captions, the painful truth. Also, a Newsweek dated, Atlantic Magazine dated February 2016, and it's called The Great American Earthquake. Too dealing with this quaking that's going on in white America. That is reflected somewhat, but not completely, in the Donald Trump campaign. I also have in my hand a book entitled The End of Men and the Rise of Women. The End of Men and the Rise of Women. Let us begin at home first. Charity begins at home and spreads abroad. Prophet Muhammad allegedly told the believers, and I'm trying to quote as precisely as possible, but there may be dissonance between the 100% accurate quote and what I say. Says something like, if one come to you with hair as nappy as Delilah, then you follow him. The religion of Al-Islam that's based upon the mother of the book, and that has been revealed to mankind through Prophet Muhammad in the form of the divine revelation, the Holy Quran, it forbids any irrational classification when it comes to the sons and daughters of Adam. Generally, the human being is classified as being either a righteous person or a wrongdoer, a believer, a misbeliever, or a disbeliever. Pardon me, let me get a little bit more comfortable. There's no...
We all in the rut. We all in the same boat, motherfucker.
There's no classification in the picture where similar creatures or species or that more than the other. A white dog that may be a pit, but it's still a pit, is not considered inherently better than the black pit. Now, you may have individual breeding that are particular, peculiar to a particular dog. But generally speaking and overall, there's no discriminatory classification. So, in the religion of Al-Islam, racism is absolutely intolerable. Overemphasizing blood ties to the extreme is a signal of the residual presence of Jahiliya. How do we start off this year with our so-called Muslim brothers in other parts of the world caught up in a open fuse with each other? caught up with an open feud with each other. Some in the media translate this feud as an inherent conflict between the Shia and the Sunni Muslims. One journalist, I heard him say that I forgot about the fact that this dispute been going on ever since 632, which happens to be apparently his reference to the death of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's a very, 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 very inaccurate statement. Surely there was some discord or lack of perfect unity among the believers after Prophet Muhammad died, but nowhere near this insanity where Muslims are ready, willing, and able at the blink of an eye to kill another believer. Certainly, Umar was assassinated, but there's no evidence that a believer assassinated him. Most suggest that a disgruntled Persian assassinated him. So during the period of the righteous guided leaders, there was a relative degree of harmony, unity, and togetherness. A year before the Prophet passed away, roughly give or take a year, God revealed to him, "Today I have completed your religion and I have named it Al-Islam." There's no modifier or qualifier in front of that Al-Islam. If there is any modifier or qualifier, someone has taken us back to an unnatural Islam that's probably rooted in the fitra. In Jali, I'm sorry, not the picture. Far away from the picture. For instance, the Arab relatives of Prophet Muhammad, many of them call themselves Sunni Muslim. That's a logical impossibility. How can there be a Sunni Muslim following the religion of Al-Islam? You think about that. There is nothing in our religious body of knowledge that support the idea of a quote-unquote Sunni Muslim. Many times I shone over emphasis on the language of Arabia. Imam Muhammad came to a people that were not even following the Quran in English. So he had to emphasize the need for our growth and development to bring in that influence. But he did not mean to open the door for us to embrace a brand of Arab nationalism, Arab chauvinistic tribalism. We are the blood of Muhammad, therefore, inherently. We partake of his covenant, and therefore we are special. We are special. No! Taqwa make us special. Not any tribe or clan kinship. Allah's promise is not within the reach of an evildoer simply because they can claim blood lineage to the Arabs in general or to the Quraysh in particular. The whole world is being exposed to this Sunni group. Cutting off folk head and executing folk. In a savage and barbaric manner. Not only is that the ugly face of Islam, that's the ugly face of the human being. I'm ashamed of my Muslim brothers in that part of the world. And I understand more and more every day how the Blessed Imam said that they could never have converted him to the religion of Al-Islam. Never. That's what Imam Muhammad said. They are global and human disgrace. These quote-unquote Sunni Muslims are Orthodox Muslims. I'm not bringing any division into our ranks. As an African-American Muslim, I have a right to look at the reality of all Islam with my own independent vision, my own independent sentiments, my own independent common sense, my own independent sensibilities, and my own intellect. And we do not have to be bored down with any religious fathers when Prophet Muhammad said that he was not the father of any of us, that he was the prophet of Allah, the seal of the prophet. Then we have this other relative large group, the Persians, who were conquered by the Muslim forces early on. And rather than submitting to Allah's divine plan, they had this old emperor, Prophet Muhammad, sent him a letter. As soon as he received it, he tore it up. This attitude of refusing to submit to the divine plan. They studied this thing and saw how the Arabs were trying to project an Islamic religion of Arab chauvinism, Arab privilege, Arab preference. superior groupism. They said, no, we're going to craft this thing where it's Persians we can bring back our autonomy, dominance, and rule. So we're going to craft this thing, and we're going to call it, it was called Shia Islam, which is a thin disguise for Persian preference, privilege, chauvinism, group superiority, and pride. Neither Sunni Islam or Shia Islam conceptually have any place in the deen of al-Islam. I know people don't want to hear this. And I know our weak African-American brothers and sisters, so afraid, so timid in al-Islam, so insecure, so intimidated. We can't look this situation in the eye and call it for what it is. Super, mega, ultra, rebellious bidda is nothing but a colossal act of bidda, innovation. And they had the unmitigated gall and nerve when Imam came with his original nature, and that nature interacted with the wisdom of Quran, God's guidance, God's revelation, to accuse him because of his insight that God was guiding him to as being a fragrant and blatant innovator. There's no peace to you. We don't want to hear this. But Prophet Muhammad came to do away with priesthood, with hierarchical structure, privilege, intercessors between God and man. Almighty God sent the Dean of Al-Islam to do away with this heavy hierarchical system of religious priesthood. Ayatollahs and mullahs and sheikhs and all of that kind of thing. There's no kingship. In al-Islam, we shouldn't have a government negotiating with us about banning or not developing weapons of mass destruction. We're not using feeling or opinion. Weapons of mass destruction are not allowed to be used by believers. Well, brother, if they got them and we don't, then they can dominate us and subjugate us. Submission unto Allah to protect, submission is Allah to protect the believers. That's not spooky. There's many nations around the world that's living in peace, not shedding any blood, who do not have a nuclear weapon, most of the bloodshed, most of the spill on the planet, most of the conflict. Is involving superpowers and others who have weapons of mass destruction. A weapon of mass destruction destroys innocent plants, innocent animals, innocent women and children. That kind of warfare, that kind of indiscriminate wanton destruction is not a part of our deen. Nationalism, let me say this slowly. Prophet Muhammad did not come to bring a nation state in the sense of this modern Western world. All these so-called Muslim countries are basing their government upon the Western model of nationalism. That's not the community life that Prophet Muhammad advocated. Because our community is global, and we don't make artificial territorial and cultural boundaries. Of course, came to do away with kinship. There's some language about the prophet said darkness would come upon his ummah. And any time darkness descend upon a people, greed shows its ugly head. Wild, barbaric, savage violence shows its ugly head. Chaos, oppression, injustice shows its ugly head. Darkness has come back upon the Muslim world. Some even quote this saying, and I don't know whether it's authentic, but in the last day there will be a certain number of sects, and only one will have the keys to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. I will say this, that Imam Muhammad was blessed with a light that was way above what we see coming out of the Muslim world. Imam Muhammad had it right. The overwhelming majority in the Muslim world won't even teach. Come over here and arrogantly look at an oppressed African American who barely made a D in English because they don't have fluent Pusa in Arabic. And 80 to 85% of the common believers in the Muslim world cannot, do you believe it, read classical Arabic. That is a total shame. 85% of the masses in these Muslim countries cannot read classic Arabic. Ignoring the needs of our public to be educated. I repeat, the most ugliest face on the planet to this brother right now. Uglier than Korea, yes.
W.
Within America, yes. Uglier than the French, yes. The majority of the Muslim leadership, especially in the Middle Eastern world, is rotten to the core. Rotten to the core. Starving their own people in Syria. Rotten to the core. And you can say, As-salamu alaykum, brother, to that, till you get punched drunk in the head. I'm not going to do it. This is one not going to do it. Some of us still hate white folk who today, many of them, are not half showing that kind of ugly face. But we still have problems with them. But we're going to embrace a distorted human makeup simply because it says, As-salamu alaykum. I might give them a peace. For the ignorant. I might give them a peace. Dearly beloved audience, now let's take a look at the human face that has been brought forward the last 3 or 4 days. Some of you want to be brothers and sisters with these folk. And I remember one period of time when they were bringing some of us over to the East, laying a little chump change, crumb money on us to weaken the mission of Imam Muhammad. Then when he passed away, they ran many of us from over there. Many of us dislike President Barack Hussein Obama. Let's take a look at this man who our late leader said symbolizes the Kaaba. And he also said with Obama, goodness is on the rise. President Obama's family on the African side lived and resided around the area in Sudan. Eventually, they moved up into Kenya and lived there for hundreds of years. I've seen a book that traces line over 1,000 years back in Africa. I'm talking about President Obama. Eventually, his paternal grandfather brought the religion of Al-Islam to the Obama's family line. Now, his father was born under the leadership of President Obama's father, of a Muslim. He migrates to America as a Kenyan to be educated, matriculating at the University of Hawaii. While in Hawaii, he meets the mother of President Barack Hussein Obama. They married, have a relatively quick divorce. He leaves, I think, goes study at Harvard, and then goes back to Kenya. My understanding, President Obama saw his father one more time alive after that. His maternal grandparents were Caucasians out of the heart of Midwest, Kansas. His grandfather was somewhat of a Rolling Stone. Eventually, he migrated to Hawaii. His mother, after a breakup with the first father, married an Indonesian Muslim. President Obama, moved to Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world. I could imagine that he knows something about this religion of Al-Islam. Come back to Hawaii to be educated, goes to college in California, become good friends with a couple of Muslims, transfers to Columbia University, another Muslim friend there, began a program of self-improvement, indicates later on that Malcolm X was very influential in his life. Graduates from Harvard Law School, come back to the town and live for at least a couple of decades where the most prolific exploitator of the Quran resides. He becomes a brilliant public figure. This master exploitator of the Quran began to make statements about him, calling him the Hajj, indicating that he felt that Obama could be president of these United States, indicating that he saw goodness on the rise with President Barack Hussein Obama. He realizes the prediction that the man made that he would be president of these United States. But we know his successes and failures while in office. There are major problems in America, in the collective life. There's a gun problem that's perplexing America. Now, I could teach an hour on this gun problem, but we're not going to do that. But while these Caucasian males running around this country on the lead, sounding uncivilized, not rooted in any kind of moral principles to undergird their public advocacy, disrespectful of all common values, one suggesting that a woman asked a question because she was under the influence of her course, also suggesting that somehow, metaphorically, President Obama apparently suggesting that burglary encountered Senator Hillary Clinton in their political opposing campaigns. All of this ugliness being pressed forward, but in the ranks come a civilized, decent son of Adam. Term is just about over, but he went on the air and spoke with the voice of a human being, rational or balanced, but are hard for many, shedding tears for the loss of Caucasian children and massive bloodshed inflicted upon them. He's not a technical Muslim. But give me President Barack Hussein Obama and that excellent human face any day. Look, I was in politics. The Western brand of political is not a prophet. I don't look at Obama as a prophet. I understand the nuances of American politics. I understand the Machiavellian shadow that casts over all of Western politics. And I understand that Obama has not been able to, President Obama has not been able to transcend all of the negativity of American politics. I understood it. I was in politics. I couldn't transcend it all. I did my best, but sometimes the reality forced me to get caught up. Notwithstanding that statement, President Obama is an excellent expression of the good human face. But these Arabs and their racism got the nerve to think that they are better. Got the unmitigated gall to think that they are better. They get a chance to talk on TV about the situation, and it doesn't take 10 seconds for them to get out of knife and to start verbally slashing and a hammer to start verbally bashing Obama, not understanding the game, not understanding that you don't bite the hand that's feeding your protection here in America. Maybe if Trump get it, some of them will be satisfied. Maybe because he has that blonde mane and that white skin, even though he dog them, they'll love it. Brother's not the enemy. The white man is the enemy. He the one that messed up all these. I can hear it in the soul of the audience. No, indeed. Let me just look at this thing and let you go. I'm on this broadcast, but I have very real mundane worldly responsibilities. This week I served as the city prosecutor for cases in the magistrate court of the city of historical Selma, Alabama. I'm going to touch on some things without violating any ethical sanctions or prohibition about confidentiality. I saw three Caucasian males in my courtroom in a town where my uncle, who just passed away in 1996, told me that when he and my father came to Selma from their little small rural community of Jemison, Alabama, that they had actually been physically assaulted by white males to the extent of actually kicking them in their posterior if they walked down a certain street. Shuffling and scratching head and dropping eyes. That was the norm. Yes, sir, and no, sir. But when I saw these three Caucasian males, I didn't see none of that. I saw some men who one way or the other looked beat to me, beat down by everything. It was nothing in the aura that could engender any fear from me. That he was to dominate and control and intimidate was gone. I'm a human being, but I could have been very, very domineering and abusive to them. But I treated them like a human being, but I was able to see up close and personal. I say to all African Americans, stop using this excuse as to what white folk gonna do to you. They have been victimized by the prophetic scheme. And this is not exonerating them for their terrible history. But somewhere, sometime in Bible, someone playing a script that they will lead the Gentile to their fullness. And that will be the end, and they would bring them down. Believe me, the people who had that plan, they are systematically bringing down the Gentile, especially the Caucasian male. Stop being so afraid of them now. Have a little empathy if you got to have an emotion. Certainly fear is not appropriate. Well, they're out there in Oregon with guns. You see, they'll get started on some stuff under Trump and have a breath that they can't deliver that kind of stuff no more. They don't know what a bloodbath is now. I know what Dylan Roof did, but this idea that they are going to organize themselves with guns and come against minority people and commit whole-scale slaughter is paranoia, irrational fear. I say this because an intelligent African-American told me that the other day. Look what happened. The people who live out in the area took a vote, said that they want them gone. This area is 99.99%. White, even the whites out there don't support this. The two men, the Hammond men, father and son, there's nine prisoners. They saying that these people don't represent them. They're out there supposed to
be engaging in a survivalist protest. Some even going eating at the best restaurants. A luxurious rebellion. Believe me, back during the days of the Klan with their gun, they were not thinking about eating no steak at no restaurant while they were on the job trying to murder and commit mayhem against African-American people. Are you serious? And they've been brought down, and let me tell you, they having a deep problem with the search force. And many times there's an attempt to substitute biological fake power with the potency of a gun. The potency of Felix Steele. But look at that guy out there as we get ready to close out. Amon. Amon is a biblical name, a descendant of Ben Ammon, a son that allegedly resulted from an incestual relationship between. I'm not gonna say Luke, peace be upon him. I'm gonna use the biblical name Lot. Allegedly had with his youngest daughter. We know Luke deal with the problem in society. Lot dealt with the problem in society of sexual transgression. These people in their last quarter drive before World War One and World War Two broke out to break up the outward power of European man, they made an assault on the internal state of Western people with this idea that sex was the main drive. Amon symbolizes wild, uncultivated gen life with a special emphasis on sex. Bundet. The Gentile has been depicted as a Bundy and Bunny, the bunny rabbit, the bun, the sexual objects, a rabbit on skis. You know, a rabbit is a very potent creature of fertility. Bam, 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 and a big litter. The rabbit foot has been very good to these people who plan to bring the Gentile down. Using the sex force as the foundation upon the human life. This not just happened with Caucasians now. This is true of all of us that caught up in the West. Brother Ryan, this fella, Adam Lanza, up in Newtown, they committed the atrocity that's been so emotional, traumatic, so traumatic in the mind of President Barack Hussein Obama. He had a brother named Ryan. sex come violence. Sex and violence go hand in hand. The Speaker of the House, who replaced John Boehner, if you listen to him lately, leading a charge to repeal Obamacare and all that crazy stuff. He came through on the budget. He's not very much different. Paul Ryan in this school made big news recently, St. Paul, with a big sexual scandal. The imam said, Paul led the West astray. Why? By setting up the fact that God could be associated with human physicality and biology, by saying that Jesus of flesh and blood, carnal human being, was divine. And once you deify the flesh, then you create the possibility where a force in the flesh, the sex drive, can be turned into an object of worship. Ammonia, ammonia. They have fed these people an ammonia that bring them down. Have tarnished their souls and their mind. This guy down the blue top with a gun in his lap. You go and read about it. Sitting out there with a blue top with a gun talking about he want to kill somebody. Yeah, but you under that tar. You worse than the tar baby. See that tar? T-A-R, a tar. People tarnish your nature with Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Made you the most freakish, red-nosed, passionate, docile creature, sex creature in the history of the planet. Western world has made history when it comes to sex. Now they got big grown football players who allegedly advocating wearing skirts. Got a prominent child of West Coast celebrities, I'm told. Apparently gonna maul panties. Sex craze, freaky deeks. Been brought down by the power of the Hex, the six-pointed force. See, Hex means six. The animal has 6 points, S-I-X and S-E-X. The rabbit foot has been good luck for these people. Go and, what people you talking about? Go and look at Star Wars, Force Awakens. And they talk about this desert area called Jakku. The only time they put a big name in yellow on the screen. Yeah, Jacob did a number on this Esau-like Gentile. And now he's taking him back to the womb. And now he's on the pictures of magazines suffering with anxiety, anxious about his faith, picking up in the soul that somebody trying to bring him down to the dust. This is the reality. There isn't going to be any turning back of the tide of 40 million Latinos, 50 million Latinos, 60 million of exploding yellow Asian American community, a steady black community, all these different colored or non-white folks from all over the world. In a few years, the majority of people in this country will be non-white. Obama is a civilizer. He wants for his Caucasian brother what he wants for himself. We all should be like that. We don't want to see him go the way of the dinosaur. But he got to come down off his high horse, humbleize himself, and understand that in time, history has brought him down to an equal seat at the global table for the human family. No better, no less. And I thank God for showing the world that the African American has become the civilizer in this American world order. Those who are willing to do what's right, those who are willing to stand upon truth, freedom, justice, and equality. Almighty God, in his wisdom and in his might, is bringing about a major global change. The old world is passing away and the new world is coming into being. Dearly beloved audience, you must get ready to take your place, as God had predicted, in the constellation of the stars. It's a new day. Get your rightful inheritance as a descendant of slaves, but more important, as sons and daughters of Adam. This has been Religion Means Alive. Dear beloved audience, we hope and pray that you have understood. We hope and pray that God has given us something to share that's beneficial to all human beings who want to do right, who want to stand for good, who want to shun evil and wrongdoing. We leave you as we greeted you. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum.